Excellent.
Okay, if you have your Bibles, we're going to open up to the book of Acts, chapter 1. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. We have some available. Bring one right over to you if you need one. Again, as always, we obtain Bibles to give away. So if you need a Bible, you can always feel free to take the Bible you're handed. If you know someone who needs a Bible, take one for them. And we just want to put them in people's hands. They're going to use them. All right, Acts chapter 1, and I need a volunteer to read verse 3. Acts 1, 3.
After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God.
Thank you for reading that. We have a picture of Jesus here between the resurrection and the ascension. The Bible tells us, here in this spot, that he was around for 40 days. The disciples were gathering in Jerusalem because they were going to be waiting for power from on high. In other words, they were waiting. And they would be waiting until the day of Pentecost, when they would be, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit would come to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. They would be empowered, and it would be from that point you would see they're going out not only preaching with power, but you'd see the signs, the wonders, the miracles. They would be empowered by God. It's the same empowerment we believe in, that God pours out his Holy Spirit the same day as he did then, and he empowers us, and that we receive and we're endued with that power from on high. And so we find ourselves in the situation with the disciples and the instructions that Jesus is giving them. And I think this is kind of an important time. And that's why I wanted to just pick this verse out. I want to emphasize a couple things out of the verse, because I think there's a couple things in this that are important to us that have to do with Jesus, have to do with life, death, and the ministry that he's handed us. The first thing I want to point out is that for 40 days, Jesus walked with people, and he talked to them. And there's something about death that we get an assurance about. And I want to just point this out. This really doesn't have much to do with my teaching today, but it was something that as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about what this means to us, that Jesus walked with his disciples for 40 days. There is a defeat of death that took place at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think we need to recognize that. And a couple of things that came to mind is that death has been defeated, and there's a few things I want you to think about. Love lives through death. In other words, Jesus loved his disciples, and his disciples loved him. And so when they saw him and they recognized him for who he was, you think about Mary Magdalene at the tomb, or you think about Peter, or you think about the disciples as they were in that locked room and Jesus appeared to them and came to them in that locked room, and you think about the love that they all had, the disciples had for Jesus, Jesus had for the disciples. That love lived through death. And Mary Magdalene and still loved Jesus, and Peter still loved Jesus, and the disciples that were there still loved Jesus, and Jesus still loved them. So love lives through death. Memory lives through death. And I want you to think about like how Jesus was who he was. And it wasn't like he was this completely different person. He was the same person he was. And the memories that they all shared, the memories that they all had with each other, lived through death. Now, you might think this is kind of weird me talking about this, but these are assurances we have. And this is something that we can glean from these 40 days with Jesus and his disciples, that they knew him, and he knew them, and their love remained, and their memories remained. And Christ had lived through death, and we too will be ourselves. That we're going to die one day. We all know that. We get that part. You know, there's certain assurances in life. One of them is death. And yet, death's been defeated. What does that mean? Well, it means our love's going to live. It means our memories are going to live. It means that we're going to be who we are, even after we die. Yes. That there is a resurrection, and there is a life that Jesus was the first fruits of. And he shows us that. And like I said, this doesn't have a lot to do with what I'm teaching today, but I just want you to think about that. I want you to think about the assurance of that kind of victory.
The assurance of what Jesus has done, what he's shown us, what he has demonstrated for us by his resurrection, by those 40 days he spent with his disciples. Well, what was he doing during those 40 days? He was bringing revelation. He was teaching. He was showing himself. And the way that it's written there of Jesus revealing himself, it wasn't something that was constant. In other words, he wasn't just there all the time, but he would show up. He would show up to his disciples. He would show up to the people that were there. He would reveal himself. So from time to time, he appeared and he showed himself to his disciples, and they would take that time with him. We have some examples of that in the Bible, of him appearing in that room in John chapter 20, when he appeared to his disciples. They're on the road to Emmaus. Or last week, we looked at when he appeared on the shore and the disciples were in the boat and they were out fishing. Or he appears here in this passage, or when you see the Great Commission. And you see him appearing to them then. And there's other examples, but we have several examples of how he appeared. He revealed himself and was revealing himself. But what about 40 days? What's important about that? I mean, how many times does 40 days appear in the Bible? Can you think of a couple?
Noah,
40 days. Well, that's another 40 days.
The temptation in the wilderness?
Temptation in the wilderness. That's Jesus himself. That happened early on. All right? What else? That's okay. We got, let me read a few to you. You ready? All right. The flood. That was Noah. Moses on the mountain with God. All right. Went up on the mountain. Ten Commandments time. Seeing the hinder parts of God. Spies in the promised land. Goliath presented himself to the armies of Israel for 40 days. Elijah went on the strength of the meat the angel was given him. Ezekiel bore the iniquity of Judah for 40 days. Jonah gave 40 days for the destruction of Nineveh. Christ was in the wilderness for 40 days. Those are all stories you guys know, aren't they? Pretty much. There might be one in there you don't know or two, but most of those are pretty big themes through the scriptures. And there were 40 days. And so there's something about 40 days. Why 40 days? I don't know why 40 days. It doesn't really matter why. I want you to understand that these are important things. These are important moments. These are important parts of the history of God and his people. And here's another part, an important part of the history of God and his people, and that's Jesus walking among his disciples for 40 days. And so I point that out because I want you to see the significance of this time. The significance of what was going on during this time as he was appearing to them, as he was showing them, as he was the first fruits of the resurrection, and he began to prepare them for what they were to do. So what was the main subject? The main subject was the kingdom of God. That's what the verse tells us, that he was teaching them on the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. If you've been around here for a while, you've heard about the kingdom of God. Alright? I talk about the kingdom of God a lot because the kingdom of God is our business. The kingdom of God is what God has called us to. He's called us not only as part of the kingdom of God, as to that we are called by him as priests and kings, and that we are part of what he has established as his kingdom. Not only is that the fact, but it's also our business. It's also what God has laid before us that we are to do. As you look at the Great Commission, you look at what God called his people to, what he has commissioned, what the job he has given us to do, it has to do with, and really everything to do with, his kingdom. It is the main subject. I want you to think about this. If we, I'm going to give you a few examples of it, in four ways that this is our business. One is that we are sent just as Christ was sent. John 20:21, if you want to look at that, the Bible tells us that Jesus, he says to his disciples, he says, I am sent, even as I have been sent, I'm sending you. In other words, that we have been sent as Christ was sent. And so, what does that mean about our lives? What does that mean about our ministry? What does that mean about who God has called us to be? Well, he's equipped us. He's called us. He's commissioned us, and he's given us authority. And we can look at all of those things in the Great Commission. We look at all of those things in the things that Jesus talked about. But he talked about miracles. And I know we always think about Jesus, well, he did those miracles. Why did he do those miracles? Those of you that have been here for a while are going to hear a familiar verse, Acts 10:38. How did he do the miracles he did? Acts 10:38 gives us that answer. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him.
Yes.
Now there's something powerful about that verse that became powerful in my life, and I've told this story before, that I was sitting in an ordinary Sunday, in an ordinary Sunday school class one morning, listening to a guy that was probably 80 years old teaching the class that morning, and he quoted that verse. And this is a guy that had, I think he was a shoe salesman and a janitor at a school his whole life. But he's an awesome man of God. And he was quoting that verse, and he quoted the verse, and he asked the question, like, what does that mean? And people said a couple different things, kind of churchy answers. He's like, I don't want to hear that. He said, what this verse means, Acts 10:38, means that you have seen the miracles Jesus has done. They are not just something to look at like a mannequin in a store window. He said, they are for you, and they are for me, because the same anointing that has anointed him, he poured out in Acts chapter 2. So in other words, that anointing that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, that's what he anointed the church with. That same anointing that he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him, is with us. And so what this 80-year-old man was telling me that Sunday morning when I was in my early 20s was that what the expectation I should have as a believer and as someone who is listening to the commission of Christ in my life is that I'm expected to go forth and do the work of Jesus in a literal fashion. In the Holy Spirit and in power. That Jesus wasn't showcasing what he alone could do. He was demonstrating who the church was going to be. That's me and you. And so we are sent as Christ was sent. Second thing I want you to understand about the kingdom of God is that our understanding has been opened. And by that, Jesus, when the Bible talks about our understanding being open, the scriptures have been opened up to Luke 24:45, tells us that Jesus, during this time, during this period that the 40 days he was with his disciples, the Bible tells us that he opened up their understanding to the scriptures. And the only thing that we can draw from that is that there is an understanding that we can gain in our own minds. There's an understanding that we can gain by listening to people teach. There's an understanding that we can have by studying something ourselves. And those of us that have been to school, we've been to college, we've been to university, we've done this. We've been in classes where we've learned material. Some of that material was more valuable than others, but whether we thought it was valuable at the time or not, we still needed to know it because we were going to be tested on it. And so we can force ourselves to at least learn it for long enough to get through the test. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And so we use our minds, we remember things, we can fill them with stuff, we can fill them with understandings, all that kind of stuff. We know we can do that, and that's some people, that's how they look at the Bible. And they will study the Bible, they will fill their minds with stuff in the Bible. The religious leaders of the day, when Jesus was around, did those kind of things. They were schooled in the ways of language, of the Bible, of history, of anything you want to understand about it. They could fill their minds with it. Some of the great teachers that were there during that day would teach people about the scriptures. The rabbis that were teaching people every week about the scriptures. And so that's how they were filling their minds. But then there's something else that happened here. I mean, the disciples had been through that already. Everything I've just described, the disciples had. They could read the scriptures. They heard the scriptures read. They had been taught by the greatest teacher ever. Jesus had taught them for 3 years, right? Other rabbis had taught them, and they had heard the teachings of the scriptures, and so their heads, their minds, their understandings were as full as they could be, I guess, from the teachings and from their own understanding and their own reading or hearing of the scriptures that already happened in their lives. But then you get to Luke 24:45, during these 40 days, something else happened. The Bible says that Jesus opened their understanding to the scriptures. And what I want you to get from that is that's not study more. That's not listen to other teachers. That's not, oh, I need to, you know, somehow fill my mind with more knowledge. That was Jesus himself opening their understanding. That's like one of those moments where their minds were just opened supernaturally. And they were given understanding supernaturally of what God is saying. Jesus would take portions of the scripture that nobody else would take, and he would look at those portions of the scripture and he would put meaning on them and he would speak them with authority. People were amazed to hear his teachings because he spoke as one who had authority. His mind had been opened. His understanding was supernatural, where he was 12 years old and was amazing the teachers of Jerusalem. That's what this is talking about. Not filling your head. Not getting more tapes or CDs or downloading more teachings. What this is talking about, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but this is something else. This is something different than that. This is something beyond just our book learning and the stuff that we're used to doing and the stuff we've been trained to do from the time we're little kids because we all go to school. We know how to do that stuff. This is something else. This is something that you receive. This is something that God pours out into us and opens our understanding. Your understanding. My understanding. It's revelation. It's supernatural. It's bigger than what we can produce with our own time and effort. And it really doesn't have anything to do with being smart. Doesn't have anything to do with being good at school. Doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you can memorize stuff. You can't. Or whether you figure things out quickly or you don't figure things out quickly. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with God pouring out his understanding and his revelation into our hearts, into our minds. That's what he was doing during this 40 days. That's what he wants to do for you and me. Third thing that he was doing during this time, he was telling people, this is going to be what your scope of ministry is. He was telling the church, he was telling his disciples, like, this is who you're going to be. Mark 16:15. Describes that. During his 40 days when he tells you you're going to take the gospel and you're going to preach it to the whole world. You're going to make disciples. This is your job. This is my job that we're going to go out and we're not only going to speak the truth, not only we're going to preach the good news, not only we're going to take this word that we've been given in power and express it somehow to people, but we're also going to make disciples. What does that mean? There's a good verse in 2 Timothy 2:2. It's a great verse. For Paul was talking to Timothy, who is his disciple. He says, and you see, and you've heard the things that I have said plainly, the things that I have preached, the things that I have been sharing as I went from city to city and town to town and region to region. You've heard these things. What I want you to do is take those things. I want you to entrust them to faithful people. And then they're going to take that and they're going to go out and they're going to do the same thing with it. And they're going to preach it and then they're going to entrust it to faithful people and then they're going to take it out and this is how this thing is going to happen. It's not going to happen, and forgive me if I offend you, it's not going to happen in big crusades. Alright? It's just not. And I've been a part of big crusades. I've been a part of big meetings. Thousands and thousands of people. big tents, bigger tents than I've ever seen in my life, with 5, 6, 7,000 people in them. That's still not the way it's going to happen. It's going to happen one person at a time, making decisions for Christ and their lives being changed. It's going to happen when we make disciples. It's going to happen when we entrust that which we have heard, that which has been entrusted to us, and that we entrust in the faithful people, and they go and they do the same. Great book, if you've never read it, The Master Plan of Evangelism. It's like this thick. If you're not a reader, this book's for you. It doesn't take very long. It's like that thick. And you know what it says? What I just said. That's what it says. I know I ruined it for you, but if you'd like to read it, we have copies in the library downstairs. It's a simple understanding of our job. Preach it, make disciples. That's us. Fourth thing we need to understand that Jesus was telling them during this time is that He's with you. He's with me. In a very real, practical way. Matthew 28, verse 20 tells us that. He says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. I'm always with you. Anybody know what the message says for that verse? You have the message? Matthew 28, 20. You know, the King James says, and lo, I am with you always, even to any age. I feel the message. It's got to say something.
I'll be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up until the end of the age. All right,
thanks. Yo, I am with you always.
Yo.
Yeah. So He's preparing us. He's making us ready. He's in you right now. All right, that kingdom He's preaching, 40 days of the kingdom, 40 days of the rule and reign of God, 40 days of what He wants to do in us. Romans 14, 17 tells us that the kingdom of God is not a matter of meat or drink. And if you read Romans 14, you understand what Paul is talking about. He's writing to the Roman church. And they're arguing about stuff. They're arguing about what you should eat, what you should drink, or what you shouldn't eat, what you shouldn't drink, or whether it was sacrificed to an idol, or if it wasn't, or if you knew if it was, or you didn't know if it was, or if the person that you're eating with knew it was or didn't, but you did, or if you were at their house, and then you were going to eat, or it's something like that. That's what he's talking about. And he comes down to this. The kingdom of God, what Jesus is concerned about, what we need to be concerned about, what is our business, what He was teaching about for 40 days, what He's given us to do, isn't about that. And there's something really liberating about that. It's not about that. It's not about whether you knew or you didn't know, or it was it wasn't, it was the person that you were with who had the food first, or it's not about that. And He tells us what it's about. It's about righteousness, it's peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God's about. It's not about all that stuff. It's not about legalism. It's not about what we put into our lives. Don't get mad, but it's not. The kingdom of God is not about what we put into our lives. It's easier if it could be, because then we could fight about the rules. But God doesn't want us fighting about the rules. He just doesn't. He doesn't want us fighting about it. That's not the kingdom. It's not about what we put into our lives. It's what comes out of our lives, because Jesus has changed us. And it has to do with our faith. A basic understanding and belief that springs forth from our lives. That's what it really has to do with. It's not a matter of meat and drink. It's not a matter of the rules and the legalism. It's not about what we put into our lives. It's what comes out of them. Jesus taught this. He taught this to the Pharisees. He talked about the outside of the cup and the inside of the cup. He talked about which one was important. He talked about whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones. He talked about it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man, but it's what comes out and what proceeds from his heart, what proceeds from what's inside of him that defiles him or not. Jesus taught about this. This was all kingdom teaching. Even at the time, it was kingdom teaching. And so these things are in us. Righteousness is in you. Peace is in you. Joy is in you right now. You're like, Andy, I don't feel joyful. It's still in you. I feel anxious today, Andy. I don't really feel peaceful. That may be true how you feel, but peace is in you right now. It's in there. You might not feel righteous. Maybe you had a bad week. I don't know. I don't know how your righteousness goes, but maybe you don't feel so righteous today, but it's in you. Yeah, it's in you. And no matter how you're feeling right now, no matter how your week went, no matter how you woke up this morning, no matter how you go to sleep tonight, I'm telling you that righteousness, peace, and joy are in you right now. Right now. I want somebody to look up Philemon 6. Yeah. I found a reason to go to Philemon. I feel good about it.
And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ.
All right, I want you to hear that again. Let's read it again.
And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ.
Okay, the full knowledge of every good thing that is in you is in me. We need to acknowledge. Now, and understand what I'm saying. That doesn't say obtain. That doesn't say run out and get. That doesn't say somehow work it up and produce it. It doesn't say you need to get all excited about it in your head or something. You know what it says? It says you need to acknowledge or come to knowledge of what the good things that are in you. Because there was something about acknowledging, coming to an understanding of, in the sense of, I got this, the good stuff that's in you. What's that good stuff? Well, today we're just talking about three things. Righteousness, peace, and joy are in you. We need to acknowledge that. We need to acknowledge that when we're not feeling particularly righteous. We need to acknowledge that when we're not feeling particularly peaceful. And we need to acknowledge that when we're not feeling particularly joyful. Because whether or not we feel that way, whether or not we think that way, whether or not we're actually experiencing that in our minds or whatever's going on, the fact of the matter is that those good things, as Philemon 6 says, are in us. They're in you and they're in me. And let's let our lives, let's let our minds come into line with truth instead of the lies of the enemy. Let's acknowledge the good stuff that's in us. Let's acknowledge what is in us right now. This righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is in you right now, whether you feel it or not. And let's allow our minds to come into agreement with the truth instead of the lie. Whatever that lie may be. And we all have certain lies that we let come into our lives all the time, and we kind of live with. Things that have been with us since we were kids, some things. Things that someone spoke over us. Things that someone pronounced over us. Things that someone had something to say over us that we either accepted or it creeped in or something happened in our minds, and yet it's just not true. Whether we recognize it or not, let's begin to acknowledge what is true. And righteousness, peace, and joy, that's kingdom truth. Jesus was teaching that 40 days on the kingdom. 40 days on our business, on what God is doing in us, through us. The reign and rule of God is real. Another book I'll recommend to you about the kingdom of God is an oldie by a guy by the name of George Ladd. And this was old, way back. And it's called, shockingly, The Kingdom of God. And we have a few copies of that downstairs in the library also. But in his book, George Ladd talks about the kingdom of God, what it is, and he comes down to the kingdom of God is his reign and rule. He reigns and he rules. And that reign and rule is real. In other words, it's manifested. It's something that you can actually experience. So we can experience in our lives his reign was real because we see it. We know it. It manifests itself. Second thing is it's fleshed out. How's it fleshed out? Through you. And you know what? This is God's choice. How is his kingdom expressed in the world? Through you. All right? We don't express God's kingdom through buildings necessarily. Or we don't. It's not. We may choose to try to, but he doesn't. He does not. When he referred to the temple, he said, you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. What was he talking about? The building? No, he's talking about his body, wasn't he? That's what he's talking about when he talked about the temple. And he has chosen to flesh out his kingdom through you and me. That's God's choice. His primary source of revelation to the world about who he is through you and me. That's his choice. You may not like that choice. I may not like that choice. I have no idea how you feel about that, but it doesn't matter. He is fleshing out the revelation of Jesus Christ. He is fleshing out his kingdom through you and me. Whether we like it or not, whether we want it or not, that was his choice. And since he's God, he gets to choose. That's his prerogative. And so he has chosen to flesh out his kingdom through you. And when is he doing it? Right now, today. We're not talking historically. We're not talking about him choosing to manifest his kingdom and flesh it out through people at a certain time and place back then. This is taking place today. And how do I know that? I know that because the work's not done. We're not done. And so he continues this kingdom of God revelation, this kingdom of God fleshing out through you and me right now. Luke 17:21 is kind of a key verse about the kingdom of God because he does his teaching and he's teaching the people. He said, the kingdom of God, I just boil it right down. The kingdom of God is in you, in me. And that's what I've been talking about this whole time, is that manifestation is me and you. You know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, or seek first his rule and reign in your life. His will in your life. Seek that first. What's the rest of that verse say? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. In other words, you get provision in your life. That's a kingdom teaching. That is a kingdom teaching. Seek first his kingdom, no, his rule and reign in your life, and his righteousness. Where is his righteousness? Where is it? In you. We just talked about that. In you. Is that all these things we had? That's provision. Matthew 12:28, Jesus speaking to the people accusing him of being demonized.
Yes.
And he said to them, he said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. In other words, if I demonstrate the authority of God, if I show you the authority of God, then you are assured His reign and rule has come unto you. So what happens? Authority, provision. Those are His life. That's what He taught even during His ministry. And then for 40 days, He reemphasizes, where is that kingdom? In you. What does that mean? There's a manifestation that He wants to bring through your life. A real reign and rule, a real fleshing out right now that God wants to do in and through our lives. Yeah? Yeah. We acknowledge it. We acknowledge it. We don't make it happen. We acknowledge it. It's in you. It's in me. We may have to wait as our faith comes in line with this reality a little bit. We may have to wait a little bit as our faith comes into line with the truth of what God has for us and who He is in our lives. And we may have to wait as our faith comes into line with who God has said we are. And we begin to live in that. He's ready. He's ready. Let's begin to acknowledge what's in us. Let's begin to speak what's in us. Let's begin to allow that truth to fill our minds, fill our hearts. What's in us? So we can move forward as the people God wants us to be. The church did. After 40 days of that kind of teaching, they got filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. Got empowered, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they went out and did it. It wasn't perfect. And they made mistakes. And they did things they shouldn't have done, but they did a lot of things that they should have done. Some people talked about other people, but they figured it out and they moved on. Legalism raised up, but you know what? It was torn back down again, and freedom and liberty won out at the end of the day. And you look at the history of the church and you see all kinds of people and all kinds of people stuff happening and all kinds of things that happen when people get together and they try to do something. And you know what? 2,000 years later, the world is still a changed place. And it's still changing. For our little part, we got two new flags up. You see those? Mm-hmm. We got two new flags up to recognize our new missionaries. We got Pakistan, that's the green and white one with the moon. And then the red and white one has the red hand of Ulster on it. That's a flag that represents Northern Ireland, where Tim is. And that's just two more places. God has sent some of us. Alright? As we just continue to fall after what God has. As we continue to acknowledge what God has put in us. Sometimes it manifests that it's time to go. Not always, and most of the time. But sometimes it does. But maybe it's not time for you to go to Northern Ireland or Pakistan or China or Senegal or some of the other places. Maybe it's your family, or maybe it's your work, or maybe it's your neighbor, or maybe it's some students at your school, or maybe some people that God's pointed out to you, friends, family, whoever. But it's today that the kingdom is here. It's today that the kingdom is in you. It's today that God desires to manifest that reality, that truth, through you and me. So maybe we have some acknowledging to do. Maybe we have some letting our faith line up to do with God's truth and reality.
So I'd like to ask you to stand with me. We're going to just take a few moments to do that, if you're able. Stand on up. Change position. Just take a moment, and it doesn't have, this is not a drawn out thing. I just spoke on kingdom for 40, 45 minutes. Jesus was teaching over a course of 40 days on the kingdom of God. So there's a lot more that God wants to reveal, that God wants to speak, that God wants to bring forth into truth in your life, in my life. But let's take a piece of this today. Let's take a piece of maybe what Jesus was teaching, what Jesus was bringing to light. These are things that we know that he taught during these 40 days, things I shared with you today. That we know he was teaching during this time. And let's let our hearts and our minds come into line with that truth that is in us. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit is in you. Is in you. Jesus is opening your mind, your understanding of the scriptures today. Come into line with that. Come into line with his power in you. Come into line with his presence in your life. If you're not feeling particularly righteous today, exercise a little faith. If you're not feeling particularly peaceful today, let your faith, let your mind come into line with the truth that there's peace in you today. Or joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Heavenly Father, I pray that your truth would rise up in us. The truth of who you are and the truth of who we are. The truth of your kingdom in us. The truth, God, of the life, that the manifestation that you have for each and every single one of us. 1 Corinthians 12, the manifestation of the Spirit has been given to each one. Rise up, truth. Rise up in us. Rise up, God, that the kingdom is in you, is in me. Anointing is in you and in me. Power is in you and in me. God has so much for us that He's entrusted the manifestation of the kingdom to you and to me as his primary source. So, Father, I pray that you would bring us more and more in our hearts and our minds in line with your truth. That our reality would be brought into line with your truth. That the God of this world who seeks to veil and deceive would be cast down in our lives and our eyes would be open to truth. And we would come into line with what you're saying. Not what the world is saying. Not what the people around us are saying. But what you're saying. What you're revealing. What you're showing. The truth of your word in us. Open our understanding. We ask it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Let's agree by saying amen. Amen. I'd just like to invite you to just take a few moments and just right here, right now, just let your heart come into line. Because you recognize that there's some areas in you that are not in line with what God is saying. Even some of the stuff I'm just saying today, this is simple. A lot of this is just simple truth. You read the verse yourself. Go ahead. And you recognize that you're just not in line with that. Okay. Okay. Doesn't mean you have to stay that way. Doesn't mean you have to leave here that way. There's some things that we can, as Stacy was talking about, we can change our minds about. We can just change our minds about. And there's other things where our faith is going to have to come in the line. But there needs to be some expectation that our reality, whatever that is going to get closer to God's truth than it has been. It's going to get closer to God's Word than it has been. It's going to get closer to the revelation of Jesus Christ than it has been. In our daily lives, in the way that we live and conduct our lives, we're going to get closer to what God is saying than what the world is saying. There needs to be some expectation of that happening. And let's move from this place with that expectation. And so I just want to encourage you to just take a minute. A minute, 2 minutes, whatever it's going to take, and just pray that into your own heart, into your own life, into your own mind. God, give me a better expectation. Right here, right now. And I agree with you. I agree with you for that. I agree with you for that before you leave this place. That God will begin to bring your mind and your heart more into line with His Word. We agree for that. In Jesus' name. So take your time. Take a few moments to do that. And as you're doing that, I know some people have commitments, things they have to do. And I just want to just bless you in that. And thank you for being here today. Hopefully see you again soon. Kinship, all kind of stuff going on. But check them out. And just say thanks for being here and being a part of what we're doing. So if you're praying, take your time. And let's just take a few moments. Worship if you want to. But let God tweak. Let Him bring things around you. And set that before you leave this place. God bless you.